May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In my pastoral care classes in seminary, we used to joke sometimes about anti-pastoral care, the worst possible things that you could say to a person in distress. Like, every cloud has a silver lining. Or, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But my own personal least favorite has always been, God has a plan. Not because it isn't true. Because the promise of the Bible is that God does have a plan for the world and for each of us. But this world is a fallen world, and we live in it. And that means that things don't always go according to God's plan. We hear about God's plan when there are hurricanes, but God is not the one who decides that the poorest people should live below sea level, behind unsafe levees with no way to escape. That's not God's plan. And we hear about God's plan when we face illness, but it isn't God who decides that some people will survive easily treatable illnesses and others will die because they have no way to get the medicine they need. God's plan doesn't always get realized. God's plan is good news and we find oppression. God's plan is liberty and we take prisoners. God's plan is justice and we choose robbery and wrongdoing. The same way our ancestors and their ancestors and their ancestors did. The great question of the prophet Isaiah is, where do we look for hope in a world that seems to have deviated so terribly from God's plan? And if we ask this question in our generation, how much more must the Israelites have asked it after generations of slavery and exile? When they were listening to Isaiah, they weren't in any position to want to trust in God's plan. And yet Isaiah was brave enough or stupid enough to tell them to try. And this is the promise he makes to them. He says, you won't know when, and you won't know how, but a Savior is coming to you. And he is the one who will say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and he has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed. And that Messiah is the one who will give us the chance to start over and wipe away our sins and show us a new way to live. And he will find those who mourn and give them a garland instead of ashes. And he will strengthen his people and they will build up the ancient ruins and raise up the former devastations. As I read this passage, I always want to stop right there and say, back it up. We have to raise up the former devastations? I thought that's what the Messiah was for. These aren't even our devastations. Our ancestors did this. As Christians, we celebrate Advent and Christmas to honor the coming of that Messiah. All the promise and hope of God's plan for us is revealed in Jesus Christ. But when we envision that world restored to God's plan, it is maybe a little too easy to expect Jesus to do all the work. We need a Savior because we cannot possibly begin to repair the devastations of so many generations with the same old tools that our ancestors had. Jesus comes and gives us new tools, a new hope and a new dream for this life and the life to come. And then the really hard labor, the building and the raising up of God's kingdom, that's on us. We are the builders. We are the co-creators with God. Humanity made these ancient ruins. Humanity can handle the repairs with God's help. But because we live in this fallen world, the repairing can come with some risk. Look at John the Baptist, who came as a witness to testify to the light that was Christ. You may recall, things did not end particularly well for him. And it wasn't God's plan for Herod Antipas to demand John's head on a platter. That was a perversion of God's plan. But John was so passionate about preparing the way of Jesus that he was willing to assume that risk. Or look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. When she learns from the angel Gabriel that she will give birth to the Christ, the Gospels record her as asking very politely, "How can this be since I have not known man?" There's no record of her asking the other questions that surely were on her mind, like, "Is my family going to disown me?" And, "Is my village going to stone me to death?" Galilee at the time of Christ was not a good place to be a woman who was unmarried and pregnant. Mary's role as the bearer of Jesus put her in enormous danger, which she absolutely knew. And yet she was willing to take the risk. Somebody has to build up those ancient ruins. Somebody has to take a chance. And as we prepare to remember the entry of the Messiah into the world, it's our turn to decide what this means for us. What are we doing to live into the promise of Isaiah, to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted? What does the oil of gladness look like for us if we even let ourselves imagine it? And what are the old ruins and devastations in the world and in our own lives that are finally ready to be repaired and raised up? Jesus comes into the world to give us new tools and new strength. He trusts the building to us. In the words of our own prayer book, may the Lord, who has given us the will to do these things, give us the grace and power to perform them. Amen.